Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Stephen Cable Jr., Director of Creed.
And?
Florian Big Nasty Montiano, you know what it is.
Yes, I was telling you guys before, we were chatting a little before we started rolling, but I really enjoyed it. And, I mean, man, we interviewed, when Creed came out, we interviewed Dolph Lundgren over the phone. And I remember all of us were already thinking that, you know. Yeah. And I was like, what would you tell Adonis, you know? He'd say, I must break you. Yeah. But so I just loved when it actually came about. How did you, before we get to any of that stuff, when did you first encounter Rocky? And did you have a favorite of all of that series growing up?
Yeah, I encountered Rocky when I was a kid, most like many others probably. But when I was born, though, Rocky V was about to come out, I think. That was the latest.
It was Tommy Gunn.
And so I saw Rocky V probably first, then Rocky IV. And then I didn't see Rocky I until I was a bit older, probably like 8 years old, and that was my favorite one.
It's the best one, I think.
It is, but or even is as a kid, yeah, so I watched it as a kid. So as a kid, you're like, oh, this is motivating. Like, I'm amped up for this one. And then as an adult, you watch it and you're like, oh, this is very artistic. It's different. Yeah. He was doing something during his time. Sly's a genius. Like, all that stuff starts to go through your head. So I'm always a fan of the franchise growing up. And so when Creed came about, it's nothing but excitement, man, just to see a spinoff. But on top of that, you know, a character that you like, Apollo Creed, has a son, Mike Bees. Of course, Mike Bees. So you love Mike Bees on screen. So, yeah, it's just a great duel, great package.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I feel like you know, when you're young, it's Rocky IV, it's the montages, it's him versus the Russian. Then when you get a little bit older and you're like, damn, like, yeah, this won Best Picture. Like, this is there's a lot going on in this movie. It's a great love story too. But with this one, how do you decide as a director, you know, what you're gonna leave in terms of callbacks to certain things? You know, we hear some of the music in the final fight. We get the "I Must Break You" kind of in the subtitles and in the translations. And what do you decide? Like, you know, let's not go there. Let's not have "Hearts on Fire" come in. You know, let's not have "Living in America." You know, like, how do you kind of have a couple, but still make it, you know?
No, that was a difficult challenge. You know, that was, how do you fulfill people's expectations? And so when you kind of rewind it and then you go back to you yourself or myself as a director, what would I want to see on screen? What would be too much? What I liked about the old Rockies? What I didn't probably like about the old Rockies? And then when you go from that kind of foundation, you then start to plant the seeds of like, all right, here goes some callbacks I would definitely love to hear from the Drago son. Or honestly, after I picked up the project, people would see me in the street, or I remember my neighbor finding out I was directing a film, knocked on my door and was like, he's like, Drago better do this or that or Donis. And I was like, wow, people have the expectation. I listened as well, you know, to see what fans wanted. I think Sly did too when he wrote the draft. He knew what fans wanted. And so we try to give him as much as possible while still staying grounded, while still pulling the heartstrings and everything like that. And like you just said it just now, the love story aspect, the family aspect, those are important. That's what make a Rocky film and Creed film in like work. Once you got that, then you sprinkle in like the, oh, we're going to have, you know, Jaden Smith icon come out with the light show, or Drago's come out with the fireworks. And you just sprinkle it just enough, but without losing the soul, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. And for your character, sir, I mean, what I loved about it, it wasn't like so many other movies, it's just like a cookie cutter villain and they have the big fight. Exactly. What I loved about it is you and you know, Dolph's character, Ivan Drago, you get your own father-son thing. There's a lot of complexity, so that you almost get the first Rocky, you get like the moral victory. You went the distance and overcame something even though you lost. Like, we're almost rooting for you to get up at the end too. I mean, we still want Jordan to win, but you know what I mean? Like, we're still rooting. And that, to just talk about how it was important that even the quote-unquote villain of the movie, the antagonist, had an actual story we could dive into.
Well, it's definitely important. I think, you know, this is a new generation, so you don't have this typical villain anymore. Like, Ivan was simply the killing machine that he is, and no emotions. So it's definitely, it changed a lot, and you can see that also in Black Panther, right? Where you, in the end, you can feel for the villain, understand why he's doing certain things.
Ironically, the same actor.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah, right? No, Killmonger, yeah.
Yeah,
Killmonger,
exactly.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And we wanted to create that scenario, and Steven told me right away when we started working that, you know, he wanted to create a scenario where in the end of the day you don't know who to cheer for, and I think we delivered that.
I agree. What was it like just working with Dolph? I mean, at playing as your father. Yeah. And I just love also that you wove in your character's mother leaving too. Man, she's such a Fairweather fan in this movie. She shows up when you're back on top and then leaving. Yeah, yeah.
What did you think when you saw her? Like when she appeared on the screen.
Oh, I thought, oh wow, because I tried to avoid as much spoilers. I didn't want to. Yeah. I didn't know she was going to be in it, and so I was like, yes, no, you know, just I love seeing those back. But I just like that she's that fulcrum, and how yep. Just talk about working with Dolph and mining that father son thing.
Well, Dolph is great. You know, he's one of the most humble and most grounded people that I got to know, and. He initiated it, like he really wanted to create a father-son bond. We had a lot of, you know, Russian classes together. He initiated of working out together, having dinner together, really create this bond so that we are authentic on screen. And he made it very easy for me to work, you know, because I'm the new guy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what to expect, and the whole cast, not only Dolph, but the whole cast together with Steven and the other great actors, they made it so easy for me to fit into this whole project, and was simply great.
Now, what in terms of, well, both you and Michael B. Jordan, in terms of training-wise for the fights, yeah. How much training did they actually?
I think for us, and I'm not sure he'll talk about the actual experience, yeah. But just me witnessing it and pushing them, obviously, I mean, there were definitely times where they got mad at me. We're all
did
family,
you
though.
To like a desert, like in the movie?
No. For every hit they received in the movie, I said, I'll take one. So even if it's by accident, he got hit more, actually, than Mike. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we had a short window, and so these guys had to train like 3 times out of the day. They would do choreography. They would actually train and work out and do more choreography, and then this guy would then, you know, do the Russian coach, exactly. Everything in one day before we actually filmed. Yep. And then while we were filming, we just kept learning choreography. It's, you've seen the movie, there's a lot of fighting in it. You know what I mean? We have to fight, you know, multiple times. And so when doing so, they have to learn all those punches, each one, to make sure they don't kill the other guy or knock out the other guy, but yet still swing as if you're about to swing and hit a real person. Yeah. So it took an enormous amount of control. And for me, I didn't gather how much of a toll it was on these guys, and you know, watch them during choreography because they walk through it very slow. But when you're in the ring and they're at it, I get caught up in like all the adrenaline. Let's go do another take, and I'm like, wait, damn, these dudes are tired.
Taxing,
you know, it's taxing on their body, and yet you know they're actually doing a full round and throwing these punches and acting on top of that. And here I am, like, take three, let's do it again. You know, like, not thinking like, oh man, like these dudes exhausted. I have to move on or get another angle. But yeah, sorry for your experience. I know it was tough, and there was moments where you got injured. And
oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said before, we were really swinging hard, right? With fully extension, like you could really tell, and I think you have seen that.
Did you actually catch him a couple times? He catches you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
Can you not?
We look at me some.
Make a face. Mike will be like, "What's up?"
That's a cool.
It's for the art, man.
But you know, I was trying, and that was also his instructions. That you know, every swing that I punch should be with high intensity, right? So there's not really a slowdown or something. Every punch should count. That was the instruction from Steven, and that's why we tried to keep the intensity always like 100%. By saying that, having an intensity that's always on the top level, it's really freaking exhausting.
And he's a brawler too, so like the different fight styles played in this movie as well, you know what I mean? So Mike is very all technique, you know, speed, as we said in the first fight, and then he's a brawler, so it's like it's non-stop haymakers, big punches, like he's trying to end this dude, you know. And so that technique is again taxing, and then Mike's using his speed trying to move, that is taxing. So it's like the different styles in which they had to keep that mindset for the different fights they had, and Mike switching it up throughout, you know, and the second time around, like, he's like switched up his style. He has become a little brawler. So it took them, you know, things to learn, obviously, but we got there, man, and we finished.
Finally. Awesome. Well, I know they're giving me the go home, so just in closing, right? Cut me, Mick. So in closing, big picture it for me, the legacy and what Stallone has created here. The fact that it's I mean, we had the first, I guess, six was kind of its own thing, and now Creed's like entering another era. I feel like, I mean, I would assume Michael will come back for at least I can see a trilogy, maybe even more. But I think now we got a daughter. I think there's a whole like third wave coming, you know, like Million Dollar Baby style. I think I thought she was gonna be named Adrian. What is it, Amora? Yeah. I was rooting for Adrian, but anyway.
That's what an A though. We gave you the A. We gave you the A.
But just very subtle in general, do you think anything that could happen with just big picture too on the macro level, like the fact that Stallone created this in his mind and wrote it like by hand in one weekend in 1976, and now he's still at it and still on screen.
And he still continues that same passion. So I think it has to come from that first. I think if Mike still has the passion and Tessa still have the passion, which I think they will. And there's a genuine, honest story to tell for Creed 3 and Creed 4, whatever it can go to.
Amara 1.
Drago 2. I feel like... And this was that film that we wanted to, like, say, hey, this is Creed, this is Rocky, this is the Drago. So it felt more like an ensemble piece because everyone had a full arc, and you can go places with those. So we leave it up to the filmmakers, the passion behind the MGM, to see where they want to go with it. But
and Stallone's just as passionate in it
as he was all
the time. This is his baby. This is his career role.
He found this guy. And when I met him, you know, obviously it's intimidating. You're like, I'm about to meet Sly, Rambo. It's about to be crazy. He's going to be mean. He's going to look me in the eye, and I'm going to be looking down. Like, how's it going to be? And then he was like, dude, we're making Creed. Da, da, da. He was super excited. He was like, I have something to show you. Like, it was a gift. And he opened the door to his office, walked in, popped on his computer. It's funny watching Sly on a computer. He shows me a YouTube clip, and he's typing in his name.
Hey, Florian, look at this.
Florian Big... No, exactly. Florian Big Nasty. And I was like, what? And then it pops up, and this dude is, like, training real hard and working out, and that's how he spotted this guy. And so all kudos to Sly, because he kept that passion alive. He did not just hire anybody. You know, it was like the internet was booming with possible prospects of who can play Drago, and he was avoiding all that and focusing on the right guy. So he found him. He introduced me to him. We flew him out, and then his chemistry matched with Mike's. He got the job. Awesome. He did his thing.
No, we're
here,
man.
Yeah, but Sly keeps it all the way, man. He's a real artist, to be honest.
When he finally takes that final bow, I mean, people are gonna look back and just look at what Rocky, and just this franchise alone, man. Yeah. God, it's pretty incredible. So thank you for doing it justice. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.